So great. Good afternoon. It's really nice to be here and to be part of this panel on school-focused efforts to really address HIV and STD among our young people. I work at ICF International, and I've worked alongside a lot of colleagues who I list on the slide here, both at ICF and at the Division of Adolescent and School Health at CDC. And this analysis I'm presenting today is funded as part of a contract with the division. And this is also an analysis that we've done as part of a larger evaluation effort, and we're just using this data to help explore and look more closely through a structural model analysis and school-related predictors of HIV testing among sexually active high school students. So I won't belabor this, but the most recent YRBS data has been out, and about a third of students were currently sexually active, and 41% or so had ever had sex. And among those that were sexually active, about 43% reported not using a condom at last sex. So, these are clearly risks for STD and HIV that we need to pay attention to, and finding ways to, help prevent STDs once our kids are sexually active. Clearly, one of those strategies is increasing STD and HIV testing, being aware of your status in this age group. So that's just a little bit of rationale for why we're interested in this. So in response to these sorts of needs, DASH has funded state and school districts, state education agencies and school districts across the country, and a handful of national organizations to try to address sexual health and reduce HIV and STD among adolescents using school-based strategies, school-centered strategies. As part of that effort, there were three school districts that were funded to focus their multi-component kind of effort on Black and Latino adolescent males who have sexual minority males age 13 to 19. And my team at ICF and alongside our colleagues at DASH have been conducting kind of core evaluation activities with all three of those districts. And then in one district, we've been doing some enhanced work where we did a large school-based data collection. And the strategies in those programs are really to deliver quality sexuality education, increase access to services such as testing, and implement strategies to ensure a safe and supportive environment so that youth can feel able and comfortable to access those services. So in terms of our evaluation, it's a multi-year evaluation, and we completed a baseline data collection for that one school district where we're doing enhanced work, and we're about to collect another time this December. But I'm reporting a kind of an ancillary exploration of these individual and school level predictors and pathways, really, to HIV testing among our sexually experienced teens from that baseline data that we had in Broward County, Florida. So just to give you kind of the snapshot of our methods in brief, we did a youth questionnaire in December of 2014. It consisted of about 46-item questionnaire that was administered to all students in these seven schools in Broward County, Florida. And the seven schools were selected by the school district to be priority schools for their adolescent sexual minority male initiative. But at the baseline, really no programmatic activities had occurred. And so this is a convenient sample, but we did get a very large sample from these seven high schools in Florida. And the questionnaire included such topics as listed on the screen, but around sexual identity, attraction, same-sex sexual behavior, school connectedness, school environment, bullying experience, and then a number of risk and protective factor data. So while our project focuses on Black and Latino adolescent sexual minority males, our survey was done with all students because in large part many of these strategies are meant to serve both all students inclusive of LGBTQ youth. And so as I mentioned before, we don't believe that any of the programmatic activity would have affected this data. So this is just current as is in terms of the programmatic piece of that. So we surveyed nearly 12,000 students. We had almost an 80% response rate for our survey. And among that large group, we had about 3,500 students who reported ever having had sex. And the analysis that I'll be presenting in a second was conducted really on that subset of youth who had at least reported previous sexual activity. And among our sample who had ever had sex, you can see they were largely 16 to 18 years old. Because of the program, because of the program strategy, these schools were selected to be schools that had a high proportion of African American and Latino youth in them. So not surprisingly, most of our sample is Hispanic or Black non-Hispanic. And then you can see the other. I think the interesting thing is 31% of the youth had reported ever having received an HIV or STD test. And in our analysis, and you'll see, I'll show you the model in a minute, our outcome of interest was combined. We asked about that separately, but we were interested in had they received testing for either of those things. So let's see here. So again, we use a structural equation modeling strategy to establish a measurement model for our latent variables, which I'll show you in a second, and to really test a model of school level, school experience related variables, as well as more proximal individual level variables and their relationship to having ever had an HIV or STD test among our sexually active students. And really just after we did our measurement model, then we just worked to test our hypothesized model and refine it and refine it until we got the best fit. So that was an iterative process. So here's the hypothesized model. I'm not going to go into crazy detail about the hypothesized model, but I do want to say that on the left side, you can see in the ovals, those are our latent constructs of school connectedness, bullying experience, and homophobic environment. And the indicators for these constructs were developed through that measurement model process I mentioned earlier on our analytic sample. And as you can see, we're interested in sort of testing the relationships between these latent constructs and some of the other data that we had from the youth survey related to condom use at less sex, referral, receipt of referral from school staff for HIV, STD, or sexual health services, exposure to health messages around HIV education, HIV testing, as well as awareness of LGBT school staff to the student. So we tested this model, and this is the resulting model that fit our data the best. Again, we optimized this based on our fit indices and tried to refine the model down, and you can see that very bottom we had nice fit indices. Our chi-square was still significant, but that's not unusual because we had a large sample size, and as we refined the model, it got better. So I feel pretty confident. We did some other analyses that also supported this, the results that we have here. So as you can see, we had kind of partial support for our hypothesized structural model, all of the paths that are presented here are significant. And while many of our path loadings are not very large, I mean, when you think about the overall value of them, there are some interesting patterns. In terms of our direct predictors of HIV and STD testing experience, we have, you know, receipt of a school staff referral predicted testing experience, which was very nice to see. Exposure to HIV and STD prevention and testing messages in school and community were also predictive of testing experience. And then this awareness or knowing of LGBT school staff, interestingly, was a predictor of testing experience as well. And then we have our indirect predictors, which are our latent constructs, which are a lot of the programmatic components of what DASH was funding. So we were kind of interested in how do those contribute to processes that lead to testing. And as you can see, we did find several paths of interest where some of our indirect predictors were related to school connectedness through that exposure to health information about HIV testing, bullying experience through referral making and through knowing LGBT school staff, as well as perceived homophobic environment and that connection through knowing LGBT staff as well. So, you know, in terms of kind of putting this together, we don't have a ton of time to talk about all this in detail, but I wanted to emphasize that we found some support for school-related environment and experience, some of those latent constructs, being a, kind of an indirect predictor of testing experience in a way that we wanted to, you know, even though it's through more proximal behavioral individual level variables, that's important to know that there are these other pathways that can support or lead to testing through intermediaries. One of our interesting findings, and we've talked a lot about this, is that bullying experience, and you know, it's a negative thing. We don't want to encourage bullying, but it's kind of an unintended consequence maybe is that relationships between students who have been bullied and school staff may build through that experience and allow the opportunity for staff to make referrals for students that could eventually lead to testing. So sort of an unusual, unfortunate experience that may build relationships between students and staff. And then lastly, another path that we thought was pretty interesting is sort of this issue of knowing LGBT staff or feeling aware of those staff in your school environment. And that may be, I mean, we saw the relationship with bullying as well, so it could be that those are bullying experiences related to sexual identity or sexual expression, and that may be, you know, driving these students to adults that they know or perceive to be LGBT. Or it could be that just the school environment being hostile in ways makes you aware of. And so both of those variables and sort of how they relate to LGBT staff, we're still talking about that and exploring it, but there clearly is a connection there through those staff that might lead to testing. How am I doing? Okay. Over. Okay, so I'm done. well, in any case, for a structural model, I think it did very well to be 1 minute over. And so anyhow, I think I've made most of these points. I do think emphasize this issue that Nancy brought up, too, about how professional development could be leveraged in this way and how to kind of look at that referral-making process and the connections and school environment factors that may be really facilitating processes more than just is testing available and do we provide it, but there are a lot of other pieces that could be relevant. So thank you. There's the limitations. I'll just put this back.
This is not about the model. Don't even.
Oh, okay.
I wanted. I was just curious. You said students' knowledge or perception of an LGBT teacher. Could it also? Did you include LGBT ally also? Staff?
Not for that particular variable. The questionnaire was, you know, of course, limited how many things we could ask about. But we were curious if students. Felt that they knew LGBT staff in the school environment. I'm trying to recall if we had anything else. I don't think that we did either. But we've done some qualitative work, honestly, that was formative kind of before this study, where we did 400 surveys and like 30 interviews of adolescent sexual minority males, just that group, where we heard a lot about kind of the importance of allies as well as other staff that they either perceive to be or know are LGBT
That's great.
Staff. So it was very interesting.
Because I would imagine they would also be helpful in steering them in the right direction, and if they've been trained, obviously, to handle that.
And the relationship that we saw was directly to testing, so it sort of was an interesting one. It wasn't a referral. So it may be that if that is the path that students are seeking out those folks, and those folks may be directing them to community resources where testing is maybe available, but not sort of a direct referral to do that. So
great.
It's just something more to explore.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.